social experiment. USA! 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 USA!
Okay, okay. USA. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh. This has something to do with numbers and processing. Well, it carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Gallman regresa al backfield. Deshaun Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It's Out of Bounds. William Quagmire, Kelly Gramlich. It is a Friday, January 5th, 2018, and we have so much to talk about and so little time to get to it. What a jam-packed show we have. Brett Friedlander at 12:25, and then basically it's off and running. Wherever you want to go today, chances are we're going to go there. 654-ROAR is the number, 654-7627 on the Northern Communication phone lines. The Health Air text line also wide, stinking open today. 986-1566, 961-566, the Health Air text line. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you with a Health Air. At Quawk Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar on Twitter. And I still haven't stopped choking after last night in the media timeout. The last media timeout of the women's game when I started choking for no reason.
Oh, my gosh.
It was unbelievable. I just started choking. It wasn't even on anything. It was like you just take a breath sometimes and you just start choking. And I couldn't stop choking. And I'm still choking from that.
You know how I knew things were bad?
Yes.
When you pulled out the cough drops mid-broadcast.
Mid-game.
I was concerned. I was concerned. And I thought, all right, you know, this is my time. I might need to take over.
I almost threw it to you.
Right. I mean,
I try to be professional.
It happens. We're a team.
I tried to be professional and just like grit my teeth and bear it down. Like, dude, you can finish.
As you were dying.
And I look up and I'm like, 5 whole minutes of this. I can't do it.
To be fair, the past couple, really about the last month or so, I've been the one coughing up a lung throughout the broadcast. So it was about time that you got there as well.
Yeah.
We just switch off, you know?
I've got so much stuff to discuss today. So much stuff.
Wait, there's one thing we have to bring up.
What's that?
Well, last night on the broadcast, really good Florida State team. Lady Tigers fall, but they play really well.
They did play well.
And they competed with a really good Florida State team. But the story of the game, from our perspective, from the broadcast perspective, is Kwok inserted a Game of Thrones reference into the game, into the broadcast.
I did.
Can you walk the listeners through that real quick?
You
because
know,
it was absolutely outrageous.
We should, and I don't. We definitely don't have this. I should have asked for it.
Oh, the clip.
We need the clip. I'm sure we have it and we can find
you
it.
You would
and
hear
Kwok
say something and you wouldn't hear me speak for 2 minutes because I literally can't compose myself.
So this is a girl for Florida State, transfer from Illinois. Her name's Shatrice White.
Yes, her last name is White.
And she's 6'3", and she is
massive.
Built like bricks. I mean, she really, you're not getting around her. So Clemson kind of like, I mean, there were a couple fouls on her early, but then they kept trying to drive on her and she just would stop people. Like on the play in question, China Cotton tried to drive in and like ran into her and like staggered.
It was
back.
Literally if you tried to run into a brick wall, what would happen to you?
So you called her the White Wall, which yes. I thought was borderline racist, but we won't even go
her
there.
Her last
we
name won't even go there. Is white. She She's happens the to be on the floor Caucasian, by leaps and bounds. But her last name is also white.
So what I said
if her last
was,
name was purple, I would have called her the Purple Wall.
There's like 4 seconds left in the third quarter. And what I said was, the Tigers haven't found out what's north of the wall at any point tonight. North of the wall. White Walkers.
And you know,
right?
I'm kind of glad I somewhat get this reference now because I have now watched 2 full episodes of Game of Thrones.
So you kind of know but don't know.
I understand what the wall is.
Okay, so you know what the wall
and
is.
And I understand that you don't want to go
you
north
know what
of it.
It is.
Because the White Walkers.
What was that? What was that?
Okay, something I've started doing. I've
yeah,
tried
they're
to
in
do,
Brooklyn now. The Walkers.
I'm trying to
they're
do a British accent, and I've just, I don't know.
White Walkers.
I'm confused because they're not really, I mean, they're British, but they're more, you know, Middle Earth.
A couple of characters, yeah. A couple of characters
British.
Are a little bit Scottish.
Yeah, how would you do it? How would you say, like,
Jon Snow.
Yes,
like
I
that.
Can't do that. Jon Snow. Like, I can't. It goes into something else. It goes into either Brooklyn or Russian. And I don't know how to meet in the middle.
That's
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you're having those struggles. But I did enjoy that you called them the White Walkers.
Like, I didn't mean to.
Like they're playing a Rucker. We're going down to Rucker and play the White Walkers.
Hey. The old Big East right? had some White Walkers in it.
Yeah.
The old Big East.
But
not
enough
the new
about
Big East.
Jerry McNamara. Let's talk.
Why is everything race with you, Kwok? Why?
I don't know.
Every time
you
I say that.
The old Big East had some White Walkers in it, so I immediately thought of white players who play for Syracuse.
I just meant White
is
Walkers
that
as
wrong?
In, as in like, really good players.
Andy Routins. Remember him?
Chris Mullins.
Chris
What are we doing?
Oh, mercy.
Oh, no.
We have so much to get to today.
No.
So many things. I'm wearing my Colts hat today. You asked me a question. Where did the Chance hat go? I almost wore it.
I'm just wondering if it's still in your closet. Like, did you throw it out? Because I haven't seen it in ages, in years.
We're going to talk tiers of the ACC. We're going to talk college football's regional problem. We're going to talk NFL playoffs. We're going to talk Clemson Louisville. We're going to talk South Carolina's offensive coordinator, which I was right about.
You were.
1,000%. Props to me on that. Yes, give me that one. All you South Carolina fans who are like, no, Muschamp's hiring Mike Leach 2.0. No, he's not. He's hiring Kurt Roper 2.0, and you're going to be ticked next year in November because your offense looks the same, and you're going to come whining to me, and I'm going to say, tough, I told you. I tried to tell you, it's going to look the same. And I actually thought Brian McClendon did a good job in a bowl game, but it's not going to change what people think about South Carolina's offense.
I was going to say, didn't you think that he did a pretty good job against Michigan? I mean, that's what won
he
him the job.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't have done anything
but do
different.
You think that what he did offensively against Michigan, you know, gives them some confidence, some motivation, some momentum going forward?
It could be, except
that
for...
That the offense is going to look a little different, a little
they're
better?
They're not going to use that momentum, much like when they go to the line of scrimmage and use 39.8 seconds of the play clock. You know, you would have momentum if you waited, if you didn't wait till the last possible second to snap the ball every time. And you were the 6th slowest team in America.
Also, it helps
year.
When Michigan's like, here's the football. Take it.
Like, in this era of football, momentum, you, like, capitalize on momentum. Some people think momentum doesn't exist.
Oh, momentum exists.
I tend to think if you're, like, super rational and you have nerd glasses on and you're like, well, technically, it's not a thing that can be measured in the space-time continuum and you have to create a fourth dimension where momentum. Like, no. Momentum is a thing. You just can't put your finger on what it is.
Right.
You just know it when you see it. Momentum, in order to capitalize on it, you kind of have to go fast. Well, South Carolina goes slow, so there's no such thing as momentum. There's no such thing.
They could stumble upon some. I thought they surely could. Had momentum in the second half against Michigan. That's for sure.
Michigan had momentum, and you know what? They go slow. And guess what? They were stuck on 19 for a while.
Slow
How long
molasses.
Were they? How long would I say they have been on 19?
A fortnight.
They have been on 19 for a fortnight.
You also said the word fortnight during our broadcast last night.
I'm gonna say it. I never know what you're going to say.
I mean, it's just...
I'm trying to think of different ways to say that a player has been in the lane for the entire possession, built a house in there, still standing in the same spot she was when the play started, or has been in the middle for a fortnight.
And remember,
those are things that I like to say.
We looked up where fortnight comes from, the origin.
Yes.
It's a shortening of 14 nights.
And it probably,
2 weeks.
Someone who, the first person said Fortnite probably sounded like a character on Game of Thrones.
Do they say Fortnite on Game of Thrones? I assume they will at some
point. Probably. So we got all that to talk about today. But first, I wake up this morning and I look at my notifications. And I don't know why this is, because I haven't told anyone explicitly that I hate the Patriots.
Other than every
day. I guess I know. Well, I mean, you know, on my laptop. Or on my, I don't have a laptop anymore, on my iPad.
Oh, well, they're listening. They know.
And they give me this thing. It's an explosive story. Explosive. On the Patriots and the relationship between Brady and Belichick and Kraft. And I love these relational dynamics inside of large organizations and how, like, high performers make it work with each other. Like how Brady and Belichick's egos have coexisted and billionaire Bob Kraft, how their egos have coexisted for a long time is just, it is beyond me. Like, it's fascinating to me how organizational dynamics and group dynamics work with high performers, with type A people, with champions. There's also this thing too, where if you're not a Patriots fan, well, let's put it this way. If you're not a Boston sports fan, like 20 years ago, Boston sports fans were like the people that you love, right? Because they had no success ever since the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics they had lean years. The Patriots really never won anything. The Sox were not the Yankees.
Lovable
and so everyone
losers.
Loves the Sox and hates the Yankees. And now in the last 15 years, since the rise of the Patriots and the Celtics and the Red Sox.
And the Pats.
The Boston sports fan is the most detestable person on the planet because they are better than you. They're better than you.
At first it was, you're not better than me.
Right.
I'm better than you. That's how they feel now.
I'm better than you.
They used to be just very passionate. You respected their passion, but you knew their teams never won, except for the Celtics, like you said. Now, because of the Pats, the Sox, I did that pretty well.
That was pretty
and
good.
And the Bruins have won.
In this past millennia,
if you will. Now they're, I mean, you're right. They've won too much, and they're a little big for their britches. I would agree.
It's just, I mean, they're a detestable lot, aren't they? They're just some detestable people. You can't say anything to them because they're like, look at the rings. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't see you for the glare from my rings. I'm sorry.
It's more the Pats fans. But if you're a Boston sports fan, you generally are pretty passionate about all four, right?
Right.
But it's not like I hate the Red Sox fans. I think because of how long they lost and they finally won, you kind of are okay with the Red Sox
right.
fans. And the Celtics fans, you know, it's fine. The Pats fans.
The Pats fans are the worst.
That's the worst.
They're the worst. And what gives me great joy is a Colts fan who will love the Colts after this and probably not lecture people about football like the way the Pats fans do. And about Brady and about how 5-yard passes are the way to go. What gives me great pleasure is to know that there's so much emptiness in that building. And honestly, from a human standpoint, makes me sad. If you haven't read it, this is an ESPN report that basically goes through the relational dynamics of Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft and Tom Brady. And it involves, what's the guy's name? Alex Guerrero. And it involves Brady and Belichick kind of at odds. There's just a lot going on there. Jimmy Garoppolo is in there and some of the dynamics there. And here's what we can't do. We can't assume that all of these things are true. Like every little anecdote and these long, lengthy reports. Like I always say, the lengthy reports, they're getting them from people secondhand, thirdhand that may misunderstand details. So you can't pretend that everything is true. But the general, like 9 times out of 10, because I know journalists who do a good job, they don't get everything right. So you give them a little bit of a pass if some things aren't exactly accurate. And the Patriots are actually saying that stuff is just woefully inaccurate. Chances are very high, like 9 times out of 10, this is true, that the story that's being told, even if some of the anecdotes are a little bit different or some of the conversations are misremembered or partly remembered or misunderstood or whatever, the ideas are true. The crux of the story is that Belichick and Brady and Kraft have competing dynamics and that Belichick has ultimately lost. to the Brady-Kraft relationship, and that the losing culminated in having to trade Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo after Belichick wanted to draft and groom Garoppolo as a successor to Brady and leave the franchise in good hands that weren't Brady's hands. So basically, you have competing egos who are, and I want to go to the phones here because we've got a Pats fan on hold. I want to get take on this before we get to Brett. Basically, you have Brady who wants to leave when he's 50. He wants to play into his mid-40s, and he thinks he has the elixir because his trainer is a guy who claims that if you just eat right and take the right supplements, you'll never get cancer. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. His business partner is a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Cuckoo head. All
right? To be fair, Belichick did not know when he took the job that Tom Brady was immortal.
Correct. Then you have Belichick, who doesn't want his legacy to be defined by Brady, and so he wants to groom the next Brady and leave the franchise in Garoppolo's hands with continued success. So so these guys, their legacies at one time, they were running parallel, and now they're running perpendicular to each other, and that's what's causing this rift. It is a fascinating read, and as a Colts fan, I just love it. I love it that there's so much emptiness where Brady is so empty inside, even though he's got a half dozen rings, and Belichick is so empty inside and frustrated, and people feel like this might be the last hurrah for him, even though he's won all these rings. And it goes to show a broader point that life is not about the stuff you get. Life is not about accumulation. Life is not about experience. Life is about relationship. And when your relationships are broken, the achievements are hollow. I mean, you give me a pulpit and a Bible, I'll start preaching on you. But that's real. That's ultimately, when I finished that story, reading it, that's what I came out with. That all the accomplishments that they've had are hollow now because their relationship is icy. It's not worth it in the end. Let's go to SC Pats fan, who I'm sure has a nuanced and different take on this before we get to Brett. What's up, SC Pats fan?
How you doing, Quark?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Man, good to hear you, man. Good to hear your voice. I hope you guys had good holidays. But I had to call in. I've been listening all week. And I said, you know what? I just been listening. And then you got on your little rant this morning. I said, all right, Quark, come with Phyllis. Let me call him and help him out a little bit. Let me give you a wrap on this, man.
All right.
I know they're talking all this junk, and I'm sure it's three big egos that's hard to try to keep under one roof, but this is a business. They dealt Garoppolo to San Francisco because Garoppolo had still done his job with us. Like, he was still loyal to us. He was still respectful to us. They dealt him there. They could have dealt him to Cleveland. But they wanted to deal him somewhere where he would at least have an opportunity.
Correct.
And look at him in San Francisco.
That's right.
Brissett was an okay quarterback, but honestly, where the hell is Brissett going to go and really do anything?
He's going to be a backup for his career. He's better than most backups, I'll say that. But I wouldn't start him for 16 games.
Oh, no, definitely not. And Belichick has always been known to get the best value out of any player. Like, when he trades them away, he's going to make sure that he gets something worth it. And they felt like, I can't remember what the picks were that they got for Brissett. It was nothing impressive. Hell, it wasn't even impressive for what we got for Garoppolo.
It was Philip Dorsett, who's not even playing, who's not on the roster, and was a terrible first-round pick by Mike Holtz. That's who they got with no picks. That was a fleecing right there.
And I think another thing you have to go back to, I forget, I think it was 2009 maybe, 2010, when Brady went down with the knee injury. And Matt Castle came in, and we went 11-5, and was the first ever 11-5 team to miss the playoffs. I get what everyone's trying to get onto, but man, I think it's simply a distraction. It's simply a distraction. I'm not worried about it. If they do fall apart, and it does fall apart, like, I was a fan before all that came along. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
Like, I understand the run may be coming to an end. It's been 20 years. It's been a 20-year run. The Dallas Cowboys, which I think personally are the most terrible NFL fans if you're not a Cowboy fan, because they're going to win the Super Bowl every year. It don't matter who their quarterback is.
I don't disagree with that.
So, like, I understand if it all falls apart, man, it was a 20-year amazing run. In the prime time of my life, I got to see my boys be dang near unstoppable. And if it comes to an end, it came to an end.
SC Pats fan, go ahead, real quickly.
One more thing, I'm going to make it quick, but all I've heard for the last month is how Alabama was not going to beat Clemson by all the Clemson fans. That's all I heard is, no, we're going to beat them. Watch. We beat them last year. We're going to beat them. We're going to beat them. We're going to beat them. That's what a fan's going to do. I don't care what fan, what team you're a fan of. If you talk junk before the game, you're going to be telling somebody your team's going to beat them. And I know we're bad about that because we've been on such a roll. And I apologize to all the fans that's in their feelings, for my fellow Pats fans that can be kind of obnoxious sometimes, but just forgive us because we're on a championship high, and I hope you guys have an amazing day, amazing weekend, and thank you for letting me get on, Quap.
You too, SC Pats fan. We appreciate it. Good stuff there. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. When we come back, Brett Freeland is going to join us next. Stay with us.
Meet Chris, a real person who took the Health Dare 90-Day Program.
Hi, my name is Chris, 39, husband, father, talk radio listener. I heard about it on the radio, listening in to some of the morning shows. It sounded like a plan that was doable. Incredibly skeptical. Tried countless weight loss programs before, and I decided, you know, after a while of going back and forth, to finally come in and have the consultation. It all came down to seeing a picture of me and my family. You know, I'd gotten to a very unhealthy weight. I was pretty much desperate at that point. Figured I'd give it a shot. It really wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. The 90 days, I had lost 64 pounds and 54 inches. Well, the Health Dare, it's given me the opportunity to be a better dad. After taking the Health Dare, it's given me the energy to play around with my son and be the dad that I've wanted to be.
Don't wait. Book your free consultation with the Health Dare today by going to iDareGreenville.com. That's iDareGreenville.com.
As the end of the year approaches, Retirement Funding Advisors is reminding business owners to evaluate your retirement plan needs. If you don't currently have a retirement plan, you may miss the opportunity to adopt a plan for the current year. If you already have a plan, now is the time to review for the upcoming year. Is your plan meeting your goals and objectives? Are your fees and expenses reasonable? Contact Carson at Retirement Funding Advisors at 430-8544 or visit retirementfa.com to get the right plan for your business.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. You will need to change your card to a federally approved Real ID to use it for air travel and access to federal facilities. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges in good standing, and a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6? The answer is obvious. LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to lightstream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit LightStream.com for important terms and conditions.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider. From the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for 4 generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I want you to listen very carefully.
It's the best!
105.5 The Roar.
I love it.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You gotta keep them separated.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Brett Freeland is going to join us this segment, but before we do that, William has been hanging on since the dawn of time. And so we're going to get him in before Brett Freelander joins us talking ACC Hoops. What's up, William?
Not much, guys. I'm glad y'all back on the radio.
Thank you, sir.
After Christmas break. But I have an opinion with Muschamp, and I'm going to see what yours is. I mean, the guy was at Florida for 4 years, correct?
Yes, I believe so. Right? Yes.
And he couldn't get it done down there, and they have some of the best recruiting in the country in Florida. And I'm not a Florida guy at all. I'm a Georgia guy. But, I mean, if he can't get it done there, what makes him think he's going to be able to get it done here? Plus, you know, Clemson is in this national championship hunt. They're going to get most of your better recruits. We agree on that, correct? I don't know what he thinks he's going to do over there. But if Spurrier couldn't get it done, I don't think he's going to get it done. You know what I'm saying? Spurrier, he had connections in Florida and everywhere, and he just couldn't get it done. You know.
I understand that perspective. I mean, I think you got to be pleased with what Muschamp's done, William. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I think you got to give a lot of respect to him for what he's done. I don't see this working out well. And it has nothing to do with Brian McClendon, and it has nothing to do really with anybody but Will Muschamp. And the fact that you fixed a hole by basically patching it by something that's going to erode very quickly. You didn't really do anything different.
You know what's fascinating? And I'm so intrigued to see how Dan Mullen does at Florida, because if Dan Mullen also fails, which we don't think he will, then maybe we start looking at something else besides these coaches at Florida. Because it just makes no sense why you can't be successful at Florida, even though McElwain did win two divisions. But when you go three coaching stints and nothing works, if Mullen does not have success, maybe you find another scapegoat, because it seems like there's something going. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. And I think Mullen will be successful. But I don't think there's this idea, you know, anybody can win at Florida. Apparently not.
The culture, I think, is a big part of it. His culture at South Carolina seems better than the culture he created at Florida. But this offensive problem, I'm just telling you, on November 1st, we're going to be taking phone calls from South Carolina fans wondering what's wrong with the offense. Just saying. Brett Freelander joins us right now. He writes for NSJOnline.com, the North State Journal, and you can follow him on Twitter at BFreedACC. What's up, Brett?
Not much. You know, interesting conversation, because when my wife and I were watching the Outback Bowl on TV, we were really excited. We both went to USC, and we were really happy that they came back and won the game. But I was just thinking to myself, that second half could be the worst thing that could possibly happen to that program, because now it doesn't force dramatic change. It basically reinforces the status quo. And listen, Muschamp's problems with offense are not limited to his time in Columbia. He ran off and didn't develop some incredibly good quarterbacks. I mean, Driscoll and Jacoby Brissett, who's now starting in the NFL, and Troy Murphy, who went to Boston College and was a star. And so, you know, I've never been a big Muschamp fan. I think his temperament is counterproductive to long-term success, because he wears out his welcome pretty darn quick. Like I said, I think that second half at the Outback Bowl is going to set USC's program back rather than help it leap forward.
You know, I think it's an interesting discussion, because I'm not sure that coaches change very often. Like, I don't think you see coaches do what, like, does say Dabo Swinney did after 2010, when the offense wasn't very good, and he said, you know what, we want to run power spread, and we want to go get a guy who's going to do it a different way, and it's going to be ours. Muschamp, meanwhile, did what most coaches do, and that's he has his philosophy, and when it doesn't work, you just change the face, and you don't change the mentality. And I feel like a lot of times when programs struggle and they make these changes, they continue to struggle for that very reason.
Well, look at Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. They had a horrible season in 2016, and he totally changed that. The whole philosophy went to power. They've got these big guys up front, and they went and took advantage of that big line. They went to a power running game, and they were much better this year. And then you look at a guy like Belichick, who flamed out with the Browns, but learned from his mistakes. And when he came back, he was a much better coach. You know, I don't see that with Muschamp, and you know, it's. Whatever, but like I said, I just think that you know, not going outside and going some completely different direction offensively, I think is a real mistake, because what he's done in the past just hasn't worked, and that goes back to Florida.
Before we get to basketball, real quickly, a question on Clemson. Your thoughts on Clemson, Alabama, and what we saw from the Tigers, or what we didn't see from the Tigers in the Sugar Bowl on Monday.
Well, I think the big difference, I can sum it up in two words, Deshaun Watson. He was the difference maker in the last two meetings. Now, no disrespect to Kelly Bryant, but he is what he is. He's not, you know, a game changer like Deshaun Watson. When Clemson got into trouble the 2 years that they got to the championship game against Alabama, when they needed to play, Deshaun made a play, and then when he did, the defense had to, you know, they had to really be cognizant as to where he is and what he was doing. That opened it up for everybody else. And the fact that they didn't have somebody like that this year, I think, really allowed Alabama to take advantage of its physical superiority and just kind of overwhelm, you know, Clemson's offensive line and their offense. You know, defensively, Clemson didn't play that badly. I mean, they played well enough to win if they'd have scored some points. But I just thought that the difference this year was that Clemson's offense didn't have that dynamic playmaker that they could turn to and say, make a play, get us going here when things are going bad.
A visit with Brett Freeland. He's our ACC guru for the North State Journal, NSJOnline.com, at BFreedACC on Twitter. In Tallahassee on the hardwood the other night, you had North Carolina losing. And, in fact, I think North Carolina losing by a point probably made the story that came out of the game a little more egregious in the eyes of many who wear a certain shade of blue. And that is the Ted Valentine turning his back on Joel Berry. I mean, I guess it's because it's a four-year player, but are we surprised on Valentine? And then are you surprised at all about the support that he's gotten from people in a game that are like, look, the guy's an outrage, but he also calls a really good game, and I'd like him to call a big game of ours?
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, TV Teddy is one of the better officials. I mean, he's done Final Fours, and he's a very good referee. The problem is he you know, it's kind of like ego officiating. It's all about me. And, there are times when it seems like he believes that people come and pay big prices to come see him in stripes. But in this particular case, by the way, the call was clearly a missed call. But there was 3.5 minutes to go in the game. So I'm not going to say that it had any bearing on the outcome of the game. I think the biggest problem was the way he reacted. Joel Berry is a four-year senior, as you said. He's a team captain, which gives him the right to inquire. It's not like he got up in Teddy's face. It's not like he tried to show him up. He grabbed the ball and started walking over, and Teddy just did not engage him. And I think that that's wrong. I think that, if you want to be respected, then you really need to show respect. And in that particular case, I thought Joel Berry was well within his rights to do what he did. And to be honest with you, I don't know that any kind of, like, punishment is necessary, but I do think Ted Valentine should come out with some kind of an apology to the kid, because I thought what he did was really, really disrespectful.
Well, my biggest takeaway from that game, Brett, is that Florida State has now won 28 in a row at home, and UNC fell on the road. Yeah, so, I mean, I think this ACC right now is so interesting, and there's so many ways we could talk about it, but besides kind of your Duke, UNC, UVAs, those your usual suspects, if you will, give me a few more contenders. I think Clemson is in the discussion, definitely Florida State, but give me a few more of your contenders in this ACC.
Well, first of all, I do love Florida State. Leonard Hamilton has always been a really good defensive coach. But the last couple of 3 years, he's gone out and recruited some guys who can put the ball in the basket, and they're playing much more of an up-tempo style. And I love what I see from that. I mean, even when they lost to Duke, they scored 94 points, for crying out loud, at Cameron. So, I love them. I think that Virginia, I don't know if you mentioned them, terrible to watch. I'm getting ready to go up there to Charlottesville tomorrow to see them play UNC. But Tony Bennett gets those kids to buy in, and they play a really, really tough style. It's sort of like the option in football. You don't see it very often, and you have to be very, very patient and very disciplined, and a lot of teams can't do that. I would have said Miami until they got beat by Georgia Tech the other night. You know, the thing about the ACC is that, and what's going to happen is the national media is going to start saying, oh, the ACC is down this year because Duke is going to be heads and tails above everybody. And there's going to be a group of about 6 or 7 teams in the middle that are really as good as everybody, each other. And they're going to knock each other off, and they're going to have so-so league records. But they're going to be really good, especially when they come to March and play outside competition. Clemson's in there. Florida State is in there. Miami is in there. North Carolina is in there. If if Bonzi Colson comes back early enough to be able to get back into game shape, Notre Dame would be in there. I don't think they're going to be in that, you know, that next echelon, that you know, that just below Duke without him, because he's, to me, the most talented kid in the league. But the thing about it is, there's a bottom group: Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech, and I just saw Syracuse and Wake Forest. NC State is in that group too, and Syracuse is not very good. When you play one of those teams, if you're one of those teams in that pack, you better win all the games that you play against Pittsburgh, against Georgia Tech, against Syracuse, you know, against NC State, because those are games that you know you're going to need, because you're going to be knocking each other off. You know, the other team that I think is really interesting is Boston College. I don't think Boston College is an NCAA tournament team yet, but I can tell you this: that's a much better team than it's been, and it's not a pushover anymore, and it's not in that bottom group that, you know, the bottom feeders that you have to beat.
Back to the top for just a second. You said you're going to watch North Carolina, Virginia. Can we boil this down to tempo? That if North Carolina can make it a high possession game, they win, and if Virginia can make it a low possession game, they win. Is it that simple when these teams get together?
I think so, because UNC is not a good inside team. You know, so if it's a half court game and they've got to go, and you know, Roy Williams is pretty stubborn and he hasn't committed to the small lineup totally yet. And so he's going to try to go inside out. And if it comes down to a low possession game, a half court game where they have to get their young bigs in you know, involved, then I think they're going to be in trouble, because they're going to have a hard time scoring. If they can go up and down and get the, you know, the wings and the guards to be able to penetrate and get to the rim and score off of their defense, then I think that UNC will have their way. But I think it comes all down to tempo.
Brett, let's ask you specifically about Clemson, because I know our listeners want to hear your opinion on the Tigers. Just give me a feel that you have for where this team can finish. I mean, where's their ceiling? Where's their floor in the ACC this year?
Well, first of all, they've gotten off to the kind of start they needed to. Last year, they came into the ACC with all kinds of momentum, got beaten. You know, they stole one at Wake Forest and got beaten overtime against UNC at home in a game that they should have won. And they really got knocked back on their heels and never recovered. So they've got a little bit of momentum going. Now, clearly, they haven't played the toughest games that they're going to play. But I love this team, because last year they showed an ability to play some offense, but totally uncharacteristically for a Brad Brunell team, defense was their Achilles heel. This team is defending. And if they can continue to defend it the way they have and show the kind of offense they have the last couple of years, I can see this team finishing in the top five. I mean, I honestly can. And it is right now, I would say, clearly an NCAA tournament team. They are, when all is said and done, they will definitely be one of the top seven teams in this league. And I think at least seven are getting in. Now, how high they can go, I think they can finish fifth, maybe fourth. It's gonna mean winning on the road, and it's gonna mean beating Syracuse when they have the chance. It means beating NC State. It means beating Georgia Tech. It means beating Pittsburgh and not stumbling in any of those games. That's huge. I mean, win the games that you absolutely should win, and then split the other ones, and you know you're in pretty good shape.
Final question, Brett. We got about a minute left. This Louisville team, I'm a little concerned with the matchup because of the size of Louisville. I don't know that Clemson's seen many teams that go as big as they do in the front court. What are your thoughts on the specific matchup with the Tigers against the Cardinals tomorrow?
You know, Louisville is a really hard team to judge right now because there's so much turmoil going on in that program. They've got an interim coach. You know, their best recruit is gone. Was ineligible, and so I just kind of wonder about the psyche of this team and really how together it is. It's a bad matchup as far as that's concerned, but I think that that they're a vulnerable team right now, and if you could attack them and you get up on them early, I've seen them mail it in during games when they've kind of, well, look at the Kentucky game in particular. When they got down, they just stopped playing. It's like, let's get this over with. So I think it's really important for Clemson to get off to a really good start and kind of just take the incentive away from those guys, because I think, to be honest with you, they look like a team that's already playing out the string this year, because they have no idea what their future holds. And this is kind of a, you know, a wasted season almost. So I we'll see. Maybe you know, they've got a lot of talent. Like you said, they've got a lot of length. So maybe they get their act together. But I just don't know what to expect from those guys.
He is Brett Freelander, waxing poetic on all things ACC, NSJOnline.com, the North State Journal. Follow him for updates and details and insight into the game in Charlottesville between North Carolina and Virginia. Should be fun this weekend at BFreedACC on Twitter. Brett, safe travels up there. We always enjoy visiting with you. Look forward to doing it again next week.
I can't wait.
Thanks very much. Brett Freelander, join us, ladies and gentlemen, from the North State Journal. Short break. We'll come back. We'll talk about any of the number of topics that we brought up when we return, and Hour 1 concludes next.
Ready SC, in cooperation with Michelin, is seeking production operators for positions at their facilities in Anderson. To apply, visit readysc.org/Michelin. Production operators must be 18 years of age and able to work in an empowered, quality-driven environment in 12-hour rotating shift schedules. Manufacturing experience preferred but not required. Other conditions apply. Applications will be taken at readysc.org/Michelin. Michelin is an equal opportunity employer.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
I'm Guy the Insurance Guy. Today I wanted to talk to you about one of the most critical but least understood types of insurance. When I talk to people, I ask them, what is your greatest asset? A lot of times I hear, well, it's my house or it's my car. Actually, an employee's greatest asset is not their home or their car. It's themselves and their ability to earn an income. Did you know that 71% of Americans would find it very difficult to meet financial obligations if their paycheck was delayed for just 1 week? Fortunately, there is a solution, and it will help you attract and retain employees. That solution is disability insurance. I'm Guy the Insurance Guy. My company is The Insurance Source, and what we do is simple. We make insurance easier.
Whether you're a sole proprietor or your company employs several hundred people, Kiwi Financial Group advises on small group retirement plans and insurance benefits. Whether you are looking to start a plan or if you already have a plan, the independent advisors at Kiwi Financial Group will do a comprehensive review of your small group needs and recommend your best options. Discover successful employee benefit strategies with Kiwi Financial Group in Clemson. Call them today at 654-5043.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like select wine on Wednesday for $10, $15, and $20. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Hey, this is Brock with Tom's Barbecue. My wife, Beth, and I are the new owners and are carrying on a 30-year barbecue tradition with the same 8 homemade sauces, including our famous Cheerwine sauce and scratch-made sides. Come by and enjoy our low-slow Southern Smoked Barbecue. We're open for lunch Monday through Saturday, 10:30 to 3, and we can cater any event. Let Tom's Barbecue make your tailgate perfect with our custom tailgate packages. Follow us on Instagram at Tom's BBQ for special tailgate giveaways. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
If this is some sort of hazing ritual, we're going to end up naked in a river somewhere, only to arrange for a ride home.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a ghost. Oh Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for.
Hour one continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Gramlich. Hour number one concludes with whatever you want to talk about. 654 roars the number. We teased out a number of topics. We're going to get to the regionalization of college football, how regional it's become, how Southern dominated it is. Also, the tiers of ACC basketball, which Brett Freelander just touched on as well. Kelly's got her list. We'll discuss NFL playoffs of this weekend, which is awesome. I'm still choking.
Are you okay?
I'm still choking like 18 hours later. I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened there. One other thing about this Patriots story to me is thousands of words. Okay. Which you hate this story. You hate that we brought it up. You can't stand it. You don't care. You don't give two craps about it.
Well, here's my basic thought on this. I don't dislike the Patriots. I don't like the Patriots. I'm sure it's how some people feel about Duke or whoever. They win all the time. They're not exactly very likable. I'm indifferent to the Patriots. That being said, we're talking about this dynasty falling apart and all this stuff. Well, yeah. I mean, they've won 5 rings. All the key players are old as heck, including Tom Brady. Dynasties have to end eventually. No dynasty will continue forever. So if the Patriots dynasty is on the way down, then I get how it's breaking news because of, you know, who's feuding with who and whatever. And whenever Belichick or Tom Brady's involved, it's a headline. But yeah, I mean, if someone said the Patriots dynasty is coming to an end, I would say, duh.
But it's not eventually coming to an end because of age.
Well, like, are they still a favorite to win the Super Bowl this year? Of course.
Yes.
But is it on the down? I mean, is it on the other side of the top of the hill? Yes.
Yes. If it was just Brady's 100 and Belichick's 1,000 and Bob Kraft died 2 years ago and sold this company.
It's news because there are issues amongst those three guys.
Amongst these personalities that have coexisted now for 15 years in a way that defies logic, honestly.
But you say the dynasty's going to come to an end, but at what cost, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure every Pats fan, like SC Pats fan who just called in, If it comes to an end because Kraft can't get along with Belichick and whatever, then the cost was 5 rings. And I'm pretty sure every Pats fan is okay with that.
That'd be great.
You know?
All I'm saying is, look, when you read to the end of the story, it paints a picture of Belichick's miserable and might retire. Kraft won. He's fine. He's
Belichick's
got his
always
business,
miserable.
Whatever. Brady's miserable. Brady's got all these rings. He's miserable. Tom Brady has quotes every, like, I don't know. If you're a church person, you know this one. The Brady quote where he's like, I have everything in the world and like there has to be more to this. There has to be more than this in life. Hey, Tom Brady's a miserable person. It paints a picture of him as a miserable person that has delved deeper into his work to try to, or deeper into his business career, deeper into whatever, to try to gain further meaning because the championships he won have not satisfied him. Belichick is not satisfied. He wants to leave a legacy and Brady is now at odds with that rather than parallel with that.
It's not breaking news to me that Tom Brady, that his whole life is football because he still has not retired.
Right.
I mean, that's not breaking news to me. This man knows nothing else but football. And that's why he didn't want to retire. And that's why he's going to try to play until he literally, you know, can't walk. And that's fine. But I don't really know if that's breaking news. I mean, the man's 40. Why is he still playing? Because he has nothing else to do. I mean, apparently.
Have you read the piece about Jimmy Garoppolo trying to get treated in the TB12 facility and the door was locked?
I didn't see that.
See, that's the kind of stuff that's in here. Like how Brady and Garoppolo do not get along, just like Favre and Aaron Rodgers didn't get along.
This would be more interesting to me if Garoppolo was still there and there was some sort of idea that, you know, Belichick wants to replace him because he wants to cement his legacy with, you know, leaving this franchise with another quarterback and all this stuff. But Garoppolo's gone.
Garoppolo.
So I don't really know how that relates.
According to the story, which again, every Patriots fan out there, make no mistake, anyone who says this is stupid or this is made up is a Patriots fan. Don't let anybody who says they're impartial tell you that this stuff is made up, this is nonsense, is whatever. Reporting like this isn't just out of thin air, like totally fabricated 7,000 words or whatever it is of nothing. There's no reason to think that this is just totally fabricated out of thin air. Are all the stories true? Maybe not. Maybe they're misinterpreted. Maybe they're misunderstood. I would never say that every single word is true. Just like I would think that Rich Rodriguez probably, which by the way, have you read some of the new stuff that's come out where I'm going to have to back up and say like, whoa, maybe this is sexual harassment because there's a lot of stuff that wasn't in that initial reporting. Tucson.com had a piece on it where it went deeper into the, as more stuff was released, it went deeper into it. There's a lot alleged there. Is everything that's alleged true? Probably not. There's some stuff that's fabricated. There's some stuff that's coming second and third hand. It may not all be true. But is the general idea of the story true? Probably so. Or it's a giant waste of time and money for a bunch of people to just make us. I don't think people understand that. Like this whole thing about fake news and how fake the media is and all this stuff. Like, do you realize how stupid it is to like research and develop stories that are just fake? Like if someone works for days and works 20-hour days and calls 100 sources and tries to do all fact and like works for days and then publish something that's not true. Like that is such a slap in the face of people who actually do good journalism to just say, like if you don't like a story or maybe a story contradicts a set of facts you've already believed in your heart that it's fake. Man, fake is such a bad, it's such a bad word. It's such a slap in the face to good journalism. Are stories sometimes skewed based on who the sources are? Yes. I wouldn't tell you to just believe everything you read, but to just throw it out and say it's not true, like 7,000 words that somebody wrote that took me 20 minutes to read this morning and I read kind of fast. It's just total bogus. That's malarkey to say it's not true.
This is not about Rich Rod. I know we're talking about the Patriots, yeah. But
did you read some of the stuff?
Yeah, and this is why I hate these situations because it's like you have to take a side. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, you have to take Rich Rod's side or the victim's side, or you have to say the victim's not credible because she doesn't want to testify, all this stuff, when the bottom line is something happened and it's unfortunate for this woman regardless. Right. And now new sources are coming out that the reason she doesn't want to testify in all this is because, I mean, she's literally been physically ill, had nightmares, had migraines because of what Rich Rod has allegedly done to her. Like, I mean, that's the thing is I feel like because this fake news situation that you've talked about,
yeah,
we feel the need to strike down stuff and say, oh, there's, you know, like if we don't have if we don't know that's absolute truth, then none of it can be true.
Right.
Because, and I mean, a lot of that's a kind of a self-defense for people because there has been so much quote fake news or whatever. But it's sad because Rich Rod is not, he's not a victim here. He's
right.
Not.
That's right.
It's very obvious. And we both kind of discredited her and you feel bad about that, but it's just kind of the climate we live in, I guess.
I just hate that everything anyone ever reads that goes against someone's preconceived notions based on no facts whatsoever, based on their imaginary fairy tale Candyland existence, that if it bucks that at all, that rather than doing some fact checking and like
it's
pretending
just fake
it's
news.
Somebody
yeah.
else, you just say, no, it's not true.
Or
that's fake.
Maybe there's not just two sides, you know?
Right.
There's a thing called nuance. I mean,
right.
With human beings, it's very hard to have black and white all the time.
And again,
there's gray areas.
Like we could be part of the same conversation and you ask me and I give a perspective and ask you and you give a perspective and we give different perspectives of the same conversation based on different contexts that we have.
Sure.
Now, that just means our perspective is different, and I'm not assuming that there's full perspective in this ESPN story. I'm just saying to say it's blatantly false, not true, nothing to do with reality, it's made up, it's a hit piece, it's whatever it is, whatever the case may be, whatever word, language you want to use, it's fabricated, it's lies, it's slanderous, it's libelous. Tom Brady's the greatest human ever, build a statue of him outside the White House, and Belichick is the greatest coach that ever lived. It's just garbage. Let's go to Will, who's up with us next. Will, what's going on?
Yeah, I was listening to the guy talk about the Patriots. Now, here's my thing, and this discussion is at my job all the time. Now, mind you, I'm not saying Brady's not a great quarterback or Patriots are not a great team, but here's the thing that we talk about, especially in the last part of the game when the Patriots are playing. There's never, ever an offensive holding call called on the Patriots. And do you see it?
Yeah, I agree with that. That it seems implausible that they would commit that few penalties all the time, living in a reality of the NFL.
Me and Walt had this discussion before, And he was talking about how quick Brady gets the ball out of his hand. I understand that. But when he's in the pocket and he's back there looking around the field, you know, and I've been told forever that you can call holding every down.
Look, I would agree with that, Will. And I'm sorry we're up against a break. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I don't really want to get into the Patriots on the field or whatever, but it just feels like there's enough smoke and fire with the Patriots that like people would have you believe that Deflategate was made up and Spygate was made up or exaggerated, and that this story is made up or exaggerated. And the fact remains that Brady probably is a cheater and Belichick's probably a cheater, and that this organization is definitely cheating. That's just the way it is, and that these high-performing personalities who crafted maybe the greatest organization ever in the history of sports, you can make that argument, for 15 years have coexisted, and now there's a little rift. I just don't think it's that implausible to just dismiss it and say, no, Brady's the god Zeus, and Belichick is the god Hermes, and we all lived happily ever after. There's no reason to do that. It's ridiculous. Hour one is in the books. Hour two, we're going to talk.